Good afternoon. I'll just take this opportunity to invite the people in the back to move forward so we can actually see you, because it's a small group, and entice you with lovely reports that are sitting on the front of these chairs and not the ones in the back. Okay, if you so inclined. Okay. Thank you, David. As David mumbled a little bit, Occidental College has received some money from Kresge to do a national assessment of what's happening in the country in terms of goods movement and health and organizing around health in the goods movement industry. So I'm going to be presenting a few of the preliminary findings from that report. As Andrea mentioned, the science, let me move to the right slide. As Andrea mentioned, some of the science has really advanced our understanding of what the actual health, environmental, community impacts are of goods movement in the country. Many of us work on the Southern California ports, but that science has actually informed a lot of different kinds of activism and policy and health interventions across the country. I want to do a little teacher prerogative here and just give you the three takeaways from this panel ahead of time so that you know what we're going to, what the lecture is and in the whole at the end. One, that there are tremendous health, community, and environmental impacts associated with goods movement. Second, as Andrew mentioned, goods movement, and in the Dora story, goods movement is a system, right? It's a system that involves, that impacts people and where they live. It impacts workers and how they produce things. It impacts our places and our communities, and it involves lots of levels of policy, as we're going to see in a second. I'm going to run through these fairly quickly. As Andrea mentioned, that there are tremendous health impacts and community impacts from the goods movement industry, and I want to say that there is much more to come. According to the Journal of Commerce, 50 million containers move through our American ports, seaports, annually. We expect tremendous growth. Where trade was once responsible for 6% of our national GDP in 1950, it now represents more than 25% as of 2007. By 2020, an industry organization assumes that container ports from today are going to double nationwide, and rail freight tonnage, as an example, is going to increase 50%. So if you look at this chart here, you can see that across the country, Los Angeles and LA, Long Beach, it is the largest port in the United States. Their projected growth is supposed to increase 353%. Over the next few years up to 2020. You see similar kinds of increases across the country, but in smaller scale. So South Carolina, you see tremendous increases. Port Charleston, for example, is expected to grow 257%, Savannah 466%, and even in Oakland, 65.5%. So a couple of additional trends. There's gonna be continued dominance on the east, and for our imports. Within that, 71% of all the U.S. containers that come from Asia actually come from China. Not real surprise, but it's a tremendous amount. There was a 9.8% growth in Chinese exports to the United States, and that was in the last 4 years. And that's at a time when our global economy was actually sort of in a recession, right? So this almost 9% growth is tremendous. Thirdly, Chinese investment in transportation infrastructure in China is going to fuel a lot more exports. So when you see here in China, as expected, 18 different intermodal facilities being put together across the country, all of which to facilitate the export of manufacturing to out of the country, but also facilitate the transport of goods within China. Another big trend and thing that we see on the horizon is also the expansion of the Panama Canal. The canal is in expansion mode right now. There's a lot of construction. It's expected to open in 2014. The purpose of this expansion is to widen those locks. How many of you all have been to the Panama Canal? They run cruises through it, yeah? Okay. So you know that it exists. The ships now are so large, they're called new Panamax ships. They have the capacity to carry 13,000 TEUs, which is volumes of containers, and requires ports now to be at least 48 feet deep to pass through them. So what you see is, as this expansion happens in 2014, all the East Coast ports, and you see here on the slide, on the right-hand side, Jacksonville, Miami, Savannah, Charleston, Norfolk, all engaged in port expansion projects and dredging projects. Heavily subsidized, actually, by the U.S., by our Department of Transportation. New Jersey and New York are not to be left out. They just agreed to a $1 billion project to raise the Bayonne Bridge in order to accommodate these ships. And these are double-stacked container ships. So what happens is, and this is kind of a shift in the whole industry, is that when you, it's moving to what we call a spoke and hub system. Think airlines, right? When you look at the back of the airline machine, airline magazines, you see, especially if any of you flew United, you see a big hub here in Denver, right? And it all spews out from there. This is the similar pattern and trend. We're just going to see our rail and truck distribution systems run as well. Thank you, David. this is a map here of showing where the major rail investment corridors are. That Heartland Corridor and that Crescent Corridor are major rail expansion projects that are going to allow double-decked rail cars to roll through. And the idea is moving goods from the East Coast into the Midwest. And Penny will talk about this more, but in a national scale, warehousing. So once you get these goods off these boats and the containers and onto trucks or rail, they have to be stored someplace in order to be distributed. So you see where this the expanse of different warehouse markets are. This actually comes from a rail presentation. So it's the industry projections of where the warehouse markets are going to be. So you see in Los Angeles, LA, San Bernardino, a very big cluster, along with the Chicago region. That map directly mirrors this one, which is where demographers actually see most of our population being. So we call them mega regions. Some people call them megalopoli. I guess that's a plural. But you see where the Great Lakes Horseshoe expected to grow 10%, the Southwest 81%, the I-85 corridor 35%. So this is where the market is, and this is where the goods are moving. Within this whole context of industry and economic development push forward, we see different openings, though after last week it's all sort of up in the air, different openings at the federal level to actually change how rail and trucks and ports and goods movement actually operate in this country. The Federal Transportation Reauthorization Bill, it needs to be reauthorized. It's coming up. This is the first time that there is actually a rail component attached to it. The Clean Ports Act that Patty's going to talk about in a little bit is an act that would give more local authority to port authorities locally to actually regulate trucks. All of that, of course, is challenged by the turnover in the House of Representatives last week with the last election. We also have openings with the US EPA, the NEJAC, and some of you who were here on Saturday may have heard some of this. The National Environmental Justice Advisory Committee put together a work group on goods movement, and they came up with a set of recommendations that try to inject health and health protective policies into goods movement. And then thirdly, the last is the White House EJ Interagency Work Group has put agencies together in a way that we think is really positive. It's not clear what that discussion is going to be yet, but it is one positive step. The third thing I also want to mention is I know that many of you all are focused on NIEHS grants. There is some focus on bringing some attention to bringing public participation into science, and that is yet to be defined yet, but it's very promising forward. So moving forward very quickly, because David's given me his two fingers, and you need three more. But we need public policies that integrate worker health and community health into goods movement policy and planning. We also find that local governments need more capacity and more resources to do their work in protecting public health and communities through land use, health impact assessments, et cetera. We need to strengthen and expand community-based science and research, as Andrea mentioned. The Impact Project certainly isn't a good model. Others exist as well, including the University of Medicine Dentistry at New Jersey, the Warehouse Workers United group, which is a labor organization that's been working closely with researchers, et cetera. There's a number of them we could talk about. And lastly, connecting local organizing to regional organizing, very important. None of the policy solutions would work unless you have a strong, organized base of people to push those forward. As Andrea mentioned, this whole Impact Projects conferences that have happened over the last 7-10 years now actually have started to build an infrastructure for that national organizing. We had a conference three weeks ago now, that brought together 750 people from all over the country, advocates, public health, science, policymakers all together in Carson, California to talk about what it is, sharing stories, strategies, et cetera. What we saw is a real hunger and energy for building a national network around goods movement and public health. These are the places from which people came. So we had 750 people, 15 states, and 5 countries, including Panama, Malaysia, Hong Kong, I'm looking at the map. It's hard to see Australia, the text. Australia and Russia. So all that to say, as a sum up, is that from an environmental justice perspective, our focus on goods movement and health really rests on many of the principles of EJ, right? Community organizing, leadership development, community-based science and research, policy change built on community knowledge. And at this point, the movement's kind of at a point where we're scaling up. And we're going to hear some of those great examples right now. Thank you.